yet they were surrounded now by a force 3 times or more their size. With the Marshal's healing aid, their losses that afternoon were not as severe as might have been expected, but even so, too many defenders lay stiffening on the hill. In the center of the square, Pox urged the king to rest while he could. They had made an inner square of the horses and knights, leaving an open space where it was possible to lie, out of sight of archers, though not, of course, out of range. With dark came new troubles. First was the Varakai commander, who came forward under a parley flag lit by torches. He accused Phelan of invading Varakai lands and refused to accept the royal pass Doran carried. "That princeling has no right to give passes, only the council can. These are Varakai lands and Varakai's road, and you have no right to invade on behalf of that northern bastard." "Hold your tongue," bellowed High Marshal Seklus. "He's the rightful king of Leonia and no bastard." "And who are you?" asked the commander. "High Marshal Seklus, of the court at Saya, and you'll have the fellowship of Gerd on you for this cowardly attack, sir." The commander laughed. "The fellowship of Gerd is far away, Marshal. If you insist on sharing this dukeling's fate, it will never know what happened." "Share his fate? Gerd's blood, sir. I'd rather share his fate than yours. Besides," the commander went on, raising his voice, "I've heard he sacrificed a Gerd's paladin to save his own skin. What kind of a king is that? What kind of commander, for that matter? If you had any honor at all, you'd turn on him now." Pox called her light and stood forward. "Sir, you know not what you speak of. This king never sacrificed a paladin. I am the paladin involved, and I know." In her light, the commander's eyes were wide, white-rimmed. "You? But I heard—" "You heard lies, commander." She saw a ripple of alarm pass through the commander's escort, and her light extended in response. "Would you risk your life, and more than your life, your soul, against a paladin as well as these marshals and Leonia's king?"
"It is my command."
"Indeed. Despite the commands of your rightful liege lord, the crown prince—"
"He hasn't been crowned yet, not until summer eve."
Pox laughed. "Sir, you argue like a Judicar, not like a soldier. Unless some treachery falls on him, as this has fallen on the king of Leonia, he will be your ruler, and acts now as such. You must know that the council and prince together gave Leonia's king not only passage, but also royal escort. Have you never seen the Saiyan royal guard before?"
"He might have hired them," said the man sulkily.
At that, even the royal guard laughed scornfully. "He did not, and you know it. You know it is the council's will that he pass safely into Leonia and be crowned there. It is the prince's wish as well."
"Not Lord Varakai's," said the man, "and he's my lord and gives my orders."
"Then he's rebelling against the House of Mahirin?" asked Pox. Again that uneasy movement. "Forming alliance with Pargon?"
"No, not that, but he takes no orders from a stripling boy." "Who is his king? That sounds like rebellion to me," said the High Marshal, "and I shall report it so when I return."
"You are not like to return," answered the commander tartly, "unless you agree to disown this so-called king. We've heard enough of him, we have. A bloody mercenary, that's all he is, whatever lies he tells of his birth."
"And is this a lie?"
The king had come close behind Pox and the High